Come on down. Let's figure out what's in the bag today. Can you guess it? Touch it. Feel it. Tell me what's in there. Ah, yeah, I'll dive on it. Sure, why not? Bedding? It's a pillow? Bedding? Okay. Yeah, open it up. It's Pikachu. It's bedding, you're right. Yeah, pillow and blanket. Anyone need that out there, by the way? Like, some people fall asleep when I speak. Can you believe that? Unbelievable. Why would they do that? I thought I was entertaining, but some days not so much. There's a blanket and a pillow in there, and we use these for sleep and rest. There's physical rest, of course. But the Bible likes to focus a lot on the rest for the soul. And this comes from trusting in God and abiding in Him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30 reads, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, rest is important. This has always been a part of God's plan for us. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 10 reads, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So we are to rest. And we are to seek out His peace, His calm, and to rely on God Himself to refresh and bring energy and life to us. So that's our reminder today, is to rest in Jesus. Our story this morning is called Four Friends Helped. And it comes from all the Gospels except John. Jesus came back to Capernaum when the people heard this. They gathered at the house where he was staying. On one of those days while he was teaching, many Pharisees and teachers of the law came to hear him. A great many others came to hear him too. So many people gathered to hear Jesus that there was no more room in the house. Even the doorway was filled with people. At that time, 4 men came to see Jesus. They were carrying a man on a mat. The man was paralyzed. The 4 men, they were hoping that Jesus would heal their friend. They tried to bring him in and set him down in front of Jesus, but they couldn't even get in the door because of the crowd. When they had broken through the roof, they lowered their friend on his mat. They lowered him down right in the middle of the crowd and right in front of Jesus. Seeing the friend's faith, Jesus told the paralyzed man, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Oh, but some of the scribes and Pharisees sitting there began to think to themselves, "Who is this man? Why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming and saying things against God. Who can forgive sins except God alone?" Right away, Jesus knew what they were thinking. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these evil things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, pick up your mat and walk? But just so you will know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins," he turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Get up, pick your mat and go home." Immediately, the man got up, picked up his mat, and walked out in front of everyone, praising God. The people were amazed. They praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." And so we read the Christ Connection, which says, "The man who was paralyzed had a great need to be healed. Jesus knew this and did something even greater. Jesus forgave his sins, and then he healed the man. Because Jesus is God, he had the power and authority to heal and forgive. Jesus offers forgiveness to those who know and love him." All right, kids, head on down to Sunday school. Have a good time down there. Listen to your teachers. Love your friends. Be kind. We love you, and we are praying for you today. Now's the time that we pray as a church family, those things that we want to honor God for as he gives in abundance. And so I think of rain that we're experiencing now. But we also pray for those things that, you know, we wish God would intervene and bring healing or just some sort of cleansing of the soul as well. At this time, I want to thank God for the rain. Like, this is great. Taking away some of that crunchy ground out there, that's fantastic. But we want to continue to remind ourselves that we need to pray for Hilda as well, as she's getting treatment for her cancer. I think it's every Friday or every second Friday. So we need to be very aware of that. Pray for her. Pray for energy. Pray for her recovery. Hodgkin's lymphoma. I'm having a hard time this morning. I'm going to say that word. Anyways, anyone else have anything we can pray for today? Where's Jack? For sure, we want to pray for Peggy as she was found unconscious, and she does have diabetes and is hopefully in the hospital right now, so we're praying for recovery for Peggy. Absolutely. Alrighty. Well, we'll take these things to the Heavenly Father as He hears us today, and just pray for continued abundance. And I know maybe some of the farmers aren't done their seeding yet, but we're enjoying this rain at least. And you know, Kyle said he wanted it to wait till June. It's a day before June. I think we're good here. Lord Jesus, today we gather this morning to bring You praise, to exalt You, to honor You. And so I pray that that would come out of our mouths, come from our hearts and our minds as we direct our attention towards You. And so I pray in this moment that You would remove any blockades that prevent us from having a deeper, meaningful relationship with You, from hearing Your word in this walk. And so we pray for a filling of Your Holy Spirit, that He would speak to us in ways that would transform us even in this moment. That we would see through Your eyes, we'd feel with Your heart. We desire to be the Christians that You've called us to be. So this morning we do bring praise and thanksgiving for You. We thank You for this rain as it is getting our grass green and all these other things. And apparently the forecast is it's going to be for a couple of days. And so we just pray that the ground would just lap it up and bring nutrition to the plants, to the grass, and just make this a lovely place. We pray for the farmers as I'm sure some of them are panicked to still get their seed in the field, and we pray that they do that, that there wouldn't be any complications or hiccups. So we pray for a blessing upon our farmers as they deal and toil with some stuff that is beyond my comprehension. And Lord, we bring our dear friends to You as well that need healing. And maybe some of them were not spoken today, and some were. Regardless, Lord, You know the aches of our hearts. And so we pray for our friend COVID. We pray as she gets treatment for Hodgkin's lymphoma, that Your hand would be upon her, healing her body. You would heal her stomach. Jesus, we thank You for all the work that Hilda does do around the church with the gardening and the communion and just the desire that she has to serve You, Jesus. And so we pray for her, that You would be with her at this time. That You would be with her family as they take her to these appointments. That we as a church family would come alongside her and see if she needs anything during this time. And just be a church family that loves on her. We thank You for her. And Lord, right now we pray for Peggy as well. Peggy is down unconscious with diabetes and we just pray for Your hand to heal her body right now. That You would bring her physical healing, and because of that, Lord, it would bring glory to Your name. Lord, we care very much about Peggy, and we pray for her soul that she would know who You are, Father. So we just pray for a mending of her body at this time. Bring her life, bring restoration to her, and bring her out of the hospital. Jesus, life is so fragile. So we just pray that in these moments we are reminded of that. That we would take courage in sharing who you are with the world around us. We pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. So sharing Jesus and the gospel message, I think we've turned it into something a little bit more complicated than what it is. We've made it a bit of a task. We see it as an insane amount of work or something, or it's just a frightening work that we don't want to partake in. I think that's more the North American church structure than anything else. Even when we do take the message, it seems that we get frustrated or disappointed by maybe how people respond to it. The reality is that most of the time it is quite refreshing. But we take to heart those disappointments and frustrations when somebody turns down Jesus, because we share the light of Jesus Christ, we sow the seed of his word, and it just seems like nothing happens. Rejection or denial of Jesus occurs. It just leaves us feeling raw or rejected ourselves. We feel as though it's futile, and we simply wonder why even bother to continue. So maybe we give up or we don't do it anymore. Well, here's why. And we learn from some men and women in history who lived faithful lives that desired to share Jesus Christ. There's a man named William Carey who had lived from 1761 to 1834. He's considered the father of the modern missionary movement. Well, what did he do? William Carey would labor in India for 7 years before he would ever see his first convert to Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Going to work for somewhere for 7 years in the name of Jesus Christ and you don't see a single convert. And then finally it happens at the 7-year mark. Following this, Carey would share Jesus Christ to the people of India for another 40 years, and he would see minimal change to their hearts during that time. Even though he faced these kinds of sad numbers, Carey would say this: the future is as bright as the promise of God. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Now, most missionary journeys, they face difficulties such as William Carey's, and another man who would know these hardships would be Adoniram Judson. Judson would live from 1788 to 1850, and he would minister in the country of Burma for 7 years. And once again, he would see one convert. He would die disappointed that his work would yield such little fruit in the name of Jesus Christ. But even finding disappointment in those numbers and just having heart for wanting people to turn to Jesus, Judson was very faithful to Jesus to the very end. And he would say this: in spite of sorrow, loss, and pain, our course be onward still. We sow on Burma's barren plain, we reap on Zion's hill. This is the missional heart for Jesus that these men displayed, as have many others who serve in the name of Jesus Christ. Some have become missionaries in other countries, and some work in the name of Jesus around here. They're inspired to press on even in the face of little fruit. So we need to remind ourselves that this is right. Even sometimes when we face our battlegrounds in the community. We're going to read Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 34, and it's going to consist of three different parables. So join me as we start in verse 21. Verse 21, it starts like this. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. And even more, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. He also said this. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or get up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest is come. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. So like I said, there are three parables that are present there. And all three relate to how God's kingdom emerges and grows with the appearance of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who came to give his life as a ransom. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 reads, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. These parables, they all tie together the parable that had preceded them. That is the parable of the soils in verses 1 to 20 of chapter 4. These three parables, they're meant to drive home the need for a response of faith to God's revealed word, a response to Jesus. The set of these parables, they begin with the common sense illustration about a lamp. Now, in looking at this lamp in the parable, we need to know that this lamp in verse 21 is pointing to Jesus himself. We think of the many passages that speak of Jesus as the light of the world. John chapter 12, verse 46. I've come into the world as the light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. John chapter 1, verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is now the lamp that provides light in this parable. So the question then becomes for each one of us, how do we respond to this holiest of lamps? The lamp, Jesus, and really any lamp, is not meant to be put under a blanket or hidden under something. It would be quite ridiculous to do such a thing. At least that is what we would say to putting a lamp under something in hopes of lighting a room. And the same application that remains for Jesus in sharing his light. Lamps, they're meant to be up high and in open areas, and in order to make this most of the lighting the room, of lighting a room or the desired area that you want to light. It is the same way that God has sent his lamp, Jesus, to the world in order to bring light to a dark, dark world, as Jesus is the light. And he has come to reveal truth, to enlighten minds, and even conquer the darkness. So why are we hiding him under blankets and other things? Because that's what we've been doing. This light has been hidden for the most part, and yes, most of it's because Jesus in the flesh is not present among us, but we still have his Holy Spirit, and because of that, we can show flickers of Jesus, his light, to a spiritually starved world that is in the dark. Eventually, Jesus, the light, he will be seen in his full glory by the entire world. That which is hidden will be manifest, and the resurrection of the crucified King assures us of this revelation. The second coming of the glorified King will establish as he is coming again. And the light will be for all to see. The world, it may try to hide Jesus, but it will ultimately fail miserably in all of its attempts. And sometimes the church plays a role. Jesus says this in Mark chapter 4, verse 23, which we just read. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. I think on the Message translation of this passage, which reads, are you listening to this? Really listening? Because think about what happens in Mark chapter 4. In Mark 4, 3, Mark 4, 9, Mark 4, 13, Mark 4, 23, and 24, there is a call for us to listen, to hear the word of God and to act on it. This is essential for us, and it's of tremendous importance. Now we may ask ourselves why that is. Well, Mark chapter 4, verse 24 says, consider carefully what you hear. He continued, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Respond to God's truth and more truth will follow. It means that we need to embrace the kingdom now when it is small, and we will share it when it is large and universal. There's an opposite to this, a contrast, as the one who rejects the word Jesus, even that he has, will be taken away. Refuse Jesus and the word, and you will lose the little that you may have once had. Our spiritual health and our spiritual eternity, it is what is at stake in our hearing and listening to the word of God. How we respond to Jesus day by day is of the utmost importance, so do not take for granted the relationship that you have with Jesus today. Because nobody knows what tomorrow brings. So we have to think and pray on that. How are we carrying out the life? Are we living with it in our lives? Well, Jesus, of course, is going to move on from the parable of the lamp to one of the growing of the seed. And this is a unique parable to Mark. And Jesus crafts this parable about sowing seed. The parable of the soils happens earlier, and it's focused on the necessity of sowing and the receptivity of the soils. But this short parable, the emphasis is going to fall on the innate power of the seed itself. The word of God has within it the power of its own triumphs and successes. We must let the word of God loose and watch it work, as it instructs us on the nature of the kingdom of God in a comprehensive sense. It notes the kingdom sowing, the growing, and the harvesting. And from beginning to end, we see the sovereignty of Jesus Christ in this parable and his power, the word. It stands forth in absolute authority. So in this parable of the seed, the man, it's not the focus in it. It is the seed that is central to our understanding of this parable. The man is simply passive because the power for the seed to sprout and grow is not found within the man. The seed has within itself the power of its own generation. James chapter 1, verse 21 reads, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Plant the word in a receptive soul, and off it goes. The seed of the gospel will prosper and grow, as it is extremely powerful. And this is why it's important for us to scatter those seeds, as those seeds will take hold on their own. The Holy Spirit's going to work through us, and more importantly, through the shared gospel and power to transform and bring life to the one who hears. Planting the seed sets the whole process in motion. It's something that cannot be stopped, even though its growth is a total mystery to us. Now, there's a line that stands out in this parable, and it's a line that says, automatically the earth bears fruit, or as the NIV puts it, all by itself the soil produces grain. The word that is used comes from the Greek word automate, and it directs us to think about the process, and once it begins, it is destined to be completed. The process that brings about the fullness of the kingdom of God is not necessarily some spectacular display. But it is a certain one. Even now it is present and growing, whether or not we see it. Just think about how the kingdom of God is presented, as it is presented in this agrarian fashion, using fields and sowing of seeds and growing and harvesting. God begins by planting the seed, the word, Jesus. This Galilean peasant who is a homeless man from Nazareth, and he managed to gather about him bunch of loser nobodies, really. But God will succeed in his mysterious ways. And those loser nobodies, they would scatter seeds that would take hold in people's hearts up until our time and change the dynamic of human history for over 2,000 years now. God will succeed. So why do we hide the lamp if we know that God is going to succeed even in spite of us? Can't hide the lamp. Because even in the parable, we see a conclusion to God's success as Jesus speaks of this sickle. And a sickle is often the symbol of the arrival of the kingdom of God and the judgment that comes along with it. Revelation chapter 14, verse 15 reads, "Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, 'Take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.'" Isn't that remarkable? Think about what has happened in human history. Jesus started off with those 12 flawed men. Absolutely flawed. They were nobodies. They were losers amongst their people. And Jesus grew his kingdom into what it is today. And Jesus, he's going to continue to grow his kingdom. He's going to continue to grow through us, grow through others, and more importantly, through his word and by the power of his Holy Spirit. People are going to turn to God, and all we have to simply do is cast seeds about to let his light shine. Because God will ensure growth, and the question we ask ourselves, are we certain that we are a part of that? Do we play a role of some kind? Because friends, as Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. A tiny little mustard seed. This seed was known for its size in Palestine, and that is because it was the smallest of all the seeds sown. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus will use the mustard seed image to represent a small quantity of faith. It is just a small little seed. And Jesus speaks of this seed in his parable, where this small seed starts out tiny, it's almost microscopic, and transformed into this large, mature state. I believe we have a picture of it on a slide of this mustard seed. It's in that guy's little fingers there. It's hard to kind of make out. And then it grows into that massive tree. It's a little different than the mustard plants we have around here. This small seed, it was sown, but it exploded in growth and produced something completely out of proportion to its original state. God's kingdom will grow and expand for all to see. What started out in the smallest sense will become the greatest of all kingdoms. And when Jesus comes again, all of the world will see that Jesus surpasses all the earth's kingdom in power, in glory, and in majesty. And there's surprising growth to God's kingdom, and all the nations will enter and enjoy it. It is a parable of growth, of grace, of a joy, and even celebration at the kingdom of God. And the kingdom, it certainly starts off small, but it will grow large, and the biggest and best growth is still to come. Where we're going to see the glorious sight of Revelation 7, 9 to 10, which we sang about earlier. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" So we think on this. And we think on maybe the minor roles that we play in people's lives around us, in the community, in the neighbors. And this has been a big push of mine recently. The need for evangelism. Nope. Sometimes it's a small act. Sometimes they actually want to know about Jesus. And we have to be able to defend that. And do it gently. Many years ago, when I was still a youth pastor and coaching football, I had many opportunities to share with Jesus with the players on the team, and it wasn't I didn't go out of my way to be like, hey, everybody, today we're going to have a Jesus session before we do our drills. It's not allowed. I wasn't allowed to do that. But they found out pretty quickly what my faith was. They found out quickly what my job was. And some of them actually even came out to my youth group. They wanted to try it out. And truth be told, it was more because they wanted to see the girls that were there. But I remember one guy in particular. And he came running up to me immediately when he showed up that day. He had a big smile on his face. He's a very friendly guy. He was an offensive lineman, so he's like 6'5", 250 pounds, something like that. I'm like, okay, this is a big boy here. And he's just like, Coach, I want nothing to do with Jesus. I'm here to have fun. I'm here for the ladies. And I'm like, great, that's fair enough. You do you. You have a fun time. I just pray Jesus has an impact on your heart. Now, I'd worked in Stettler with youth, the youth group, around coaching and doing things like that for 5 years and saw almost no fruit. When I was moving from Stettler to come to here, the young man approached me and he had a simple request for me. Rad, I'd like a Bible. I want a Bible so I can prove that you are wrong. And I told him, you have a deal. Prove me wrong, but you have to promise me that you will actually read the Bible and find these evidences for Jesus not existing and for being divine. We both agreed, and so I got him a Bible. 9 years later, I have no idea whatever happened to him. I pray that he still maybe approaches that Bible to prove it wrong. I pray for the Holy Spirit to impact that seed that was scattered there. And not just for him, but for all the little ones that I was able to maybe spread some seed in Stettler towards. I pray for something spectacular to happen in their lives. I pray that for my neighbors as I go out and I talk with them. I pray that for them as I shovel the walks or as I mow the lawns and help them out with certain things. That is my prayer. And so my prayer for each one of us in this church today is that we would all find people to work with and through. Whether it's at our workplace, whether it's at our sport nights, or whether it's at our teas that we have with people. That we would just find courage to scatter some seeds. That we would find some courage just to be the light in that moment. And give them a flicker of what Jesus looks like. All of this in the name of the Lord. And our confidence should really be found in the Holy Spirit, as he is the one that will transform them into something marvelous like that mustard tree picture. Just like he transforms our heart. Just like he speaks through us at times. And so it's upon us, each one of us, to lean into him and to speak those words and scatter that powerful seed that will bring fruition in itself. So that is my prayer for our church. Jordan, is that? For Jesus, today we heard of three different parables, all that you presented towards us. And we can't help but think of the impact that you have on this society and this world and looking at human history. And this could be one of those times that we could get ever frustrated and be like, oh man, nothing's happening, Lord. We speak the word or we do whatever and it just seems like nobody's turning towards you, Jesus. And Jesus, your word is far more powerful than our disappointments or our words. And so I just pray that you would cast those away, that we would boldly declare in your name exactly who you are, Jesus, to our neighbors, our friends, our families, and allow the Holy Spirit to work and transform us. Just as you did each one of us. And so I pray for something spectacular. Pray for things spectacular to happen in our lives as we boldly step out in your name, Jesus. May we be a church that is faithful towards. That we lean into your Holy Spirit, that we confess our sins, that we repent and lean wholly into you. And we pray this all in your mighty name.
We're just going to respond with a song of prayer. You can stay seated if you want, but it is a prayer song.
Send us home today. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.